over the three circles. This one is God's design. Designed us to dwell with him. Everything was good when God created the earth. And due to sin, when we chose to go our own way, the world became broken. And now that the world is broken, we see evil. We put our identity in relationships, career, education, whatever that may be. And therefore, we need a way to be right with God. And Jesus, or God sent his son Jesus, a perfect man, God's son, to die on the cross and die for our sins. Because we are sinners, we have a choice to make, and we can repent and believe in the gospel that God is, we can repent and believe that God sent his son to make us right with God. We choose to believe in the gospel. We have a duty to go out and make disciples and share the gospel with others. Which I forget what that last one was.
You weren't a little nervous, were you, doing that? Not a little nervous. You did good. You did good. Good job. Give her a hand. So, it's a little intimidating to come up here and try to share. And part of the reason why I want different people to come up and do this is not only is it a chance for you guys to see it done differently, and so it gets into your brain a little bit. But the reality of it is there's so many different ways to be able to present the gospel. And so being able to get down the keys, the three circles are a great way to be able to remember the keys to the principles of what it all is. And as you guys know, that's what we've been talking about and going through in the scripture. And so we talked about how God created us and the beauty that's around us, but even in ourselves, how God created us for purpose, and he created us to be able to be image bearers, and how his design was for us to actually live a fulfilled life in him, and how we broke that in sin. And we talked last week about sin, and I know last week was a little heavy, wasn't it? I mean, I know I was emotionally wiped out when it was all done, and because when you deal with sin and the reality of sin, it's a struggle. But this week, a little different. This week, we step into the good news. This week is awesome. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll jump into the scriptures. Father God, we come before you right now. Lord, we just ask that you not only cement in us the understanding of what you're doing and how you've done things, but Father, that you would bring to our minds and our heart the radical reality of the good news that you love us, that you have sent your Son to save us, that Father God, that you have given it to us by grace, and it's through the blood of Christ that we are redeemed, that Father, that our sins are wiped away. Father God, you not only have saved us, but you have changed us. You've given us hope. You've given us a path. And Lord, we want to glorify you in that. And Lord, you've created us to bring you glory. And so I ask that not only that you would allow us here as individuals, but also as a congregation, that, Lord, that you would allow us to bring you glory, that, Lord, that you would move throughout your church, throughout Missoula and throughout Montana. That the spiritual atmosphere would change, that folks would begin to look towards you as the answer and not towards the government or towards other things, but Father, that they'd be able to realize that you are the answer. And so, Father God, we just ask that you would lead us in your spirit, that you would speak to us through your scripture, and that we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about Christ. We're going to talk about the reality of what Jesus did for us. And so I want you guys to turn with me, if you will. We're going to start over here in Romans. We're going to start here in a familiar area, Romans chapter 3. And we're going to start up here in verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We covered that last week. If you think that you are a good person, watch last week and you'll discover you're not. It's rough when you begin to realize what sin is. Our culture wants to whitewash it. We want to make little of it. We want to put it to the side. It's like, I'm not really that bad. And the truth is we're rotten through and through. The truth is everything we touch, we ruin. The reality is we're so eaten with selfishness and inner desires and things that draw us away from God. It is crazy. And often what happens is when we allow these things to take root in our life, when we follow those passions, death follows. Not just spiritual death, but death of relationships, death all around us in the things that we touch. And so we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all struggled with this. But it goes on. And these next verses are awesome. Verse 24. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. Atonement. Basically, it's speaking about a covering. That he's covered us. Our sins have been covered over. The sacrifice through the shedding of his blood. It's his blood that's done this. It's his sacrifice. It's his death on the cross. He took our penalty and died for us. But notice, as it talks about, he did this for all people. It goes on here and says, not only through his blood, but to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So we kind of understand, most of you here have a grasp of the reality that Christ came and he died for us and he died for our sins. That his blood and his sacrifice is actually what cleanses us from the wrongdoing of our desires. And so there's nothing that we could do to actually make ourselves clean again. There's nothing we could do to actually justify ourselves, to actually get to a place where we can look at ourselves and say, hey, look, I'm good enough. We can't do it. There's no works. There's no repentance. There's nothing that we can achieve that would ever accomplish that. And the scripture is totally clear about that. Because we're so tainted with sin that anything we touch is still tainted with sin. And so the reality is even when we do good things, there's still selfishness involved in the middle of it. I mean, we just mess it all up. And so here's the reality of it is we can't do anything about it. So God sent Jesus to pay our price. And what's really wild about that is he died for our sins and he's covered it all. Where sin and the transgressions are, grace increases all the more. He's died for your past sins. He's died for your present sins. He's died for your future sins. But sometimes we have a hard time with or even realizing that. He took care of all of it. But it's only for those that take it by faith. But as we look at this and realize, okay, how can Jesus, one man, actually cover the sins of all mankind? And how can God be just in condemning an innocent man for somebody else's sin? You can't be just in doing that. I mean, that'd be like, all right, Cameron, you messed up. Guess what, Nomi, you're going to die. It's like, no, that doesn't work, right? It's like, that's not just at all. I mean, obviously, if Jesus was pure and he was holy and all that stuff, then he deserves to live. And if he dies for somebody, maybe he could be like, die for one individual, but how could he actually die for Malta? And how could God be just even in allowing that to happen? There's a mystery in the midst of this that we go, wait a minute, there's something more for us to be able to grasp in this. And the scripture explains it. I want you to turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, looking at verse 5. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. You're going to pull down the blinds again. Sasha pushed them up just because. You guys like the fall colors, but you can't see. It's all gone. There it is. Okay, no problem. All right, here we are. So we're back here in Philippians chapter 2. Looking at verse 5 here. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So he's saying, hey, you need to look at how Christ lived and have the same mindset on how you relate to other people. Now note what it begins to say here in verse 6. Who being in very nature God. Think about that for a moment. Who being in the very nature of God. That kind of changes things. Jesus is not just a man, but the very nature and the form of God. Did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's to God's glory that Jesus actually went through all that he did. But what's really wild about it, it's not just Jesus as a man. It literally talks about Jesus being the nature of God. Did this incredible, weird mystery where he became a man in order to be obedient, in order to serve us, in order to love us. John explains it in a different way. John chapter 1, verse 1. I assume you guys have probably read this verse, but think about the importance of how John starts the gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has not been seen. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in a dark place, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the creator of all things. That's crazy. Now, if you think about what we read before, if he's the atoning, if his death actually takes care of my sins, and I'm the one who is like guilty, and he's not guilty, and yet God's standing back here saying, yeah, this is good, and this is actually just. It's like, how can it be just? It cannot be just if you condemn somebody else for my sins, unless somehow it's just because God is also taking that on. God is a part of this. And we see that actually in Jesus, being the nature of God, actually dying for us. And the reality is he's not just dying for one man. He created all man. So he gave us all life. He is the creator. And so if the creator dies for the creation, the reality is he is greater than all of creation. So his death literally does take care of all of us and all of us yet to come. His death literally does atone for all of it. Because in some way, some strangeness that is so hard for us to grasp, because it is a spiritual reality of what God is. And I know sometimes people are like, man, I don't know, I have a hard time with the Trinity. Well, you should. Because the reality is the Trinity is a mystery beyond our comprehension. It is the simple reality that there is something that is greater spiritual in this world that I can't quite figure out. Did God give us logic? He sure did. Did he give me all understanding? I would like to think he did. No, he didn't, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't know or understand and I can't comprehend. And of those things, basic things that other men have been able to figure out. I mean, as hard as I try, I cannot build an atomic bomb in my backyard. I don't know why. I haven't been able to figure it out, you know? I'm joking. I'm not trying to build any bombs. Please don't call anybody. But here's the reality. There is science beyond what I understand. There's things that people have been able to figure out that I don't grasp. And I think if we're true enough to all of us, we all agree with that. We all know there's areas that we don't fully understand. And yet we can see it and go, yeah, okay, well, it obviously exists. It's obviously there. I'm using my phone. I'm doing these things. And I don't understand how it works, but it works. When it comes to spiritual things, I don't know about you guys, but how much duller are we really? The God who spoke the universe into existence? Like, come on now. The reality is God is so much greater than what we can ever figure out. If we could figure it out, then he's not much of a God. He is far beyond us. And so when we talk about the Trinity, I get it. It is hard to grasp because it is even harder to explain. But yet it's there. The scripture says this is how it is. This is what it's come about. This is what Jesus revealed to us. And when we look back through the Old Testament where God has been revealing himself to mankind over and over and over throughout the centuries, we go, wow, what Jesus says actually lines up in the Old Testament too. And so we can begin to see that even the Trinity and the idea of the Trinity exists all the way back into the beginning of it all. And so it doesn't contradict itself. The reality is it's a profound mystery. And it's the only way that God can be just if somehow he is a part of actually the sacrifice that takes care of us. Because it would not be just to condemn an innocent man otherwise. And no wonder it's atoning because it covers everything. And it couldn't take care of everything unless somehow Jesus was above everything and had created everything. And so this incredible mystery comes together in a way that we have to realize who Jesus is. Because if we don't realize who Jesus is, it's really tough. This last weekend, there's been a marriage retreat happening up in Arlee, and me and Sasha got to go up there on Friday and speak at it. And as we were speaking about marriage, we were speaking about the oneness coming together. And Ephesians, it talks about how marriage is very much a representation of our relationship with God in the sense that the church is married to Christ and the two will become one. And Paul talks about it being a profound mystery. And as we were talking about this, it's really interesting because that passage has a lot to deal with husbands loving your wife. And it talks about kind of the roles that a family has and so forth. And what was interesting is that we talked about it. It kept coming back to this place where it's like, okay, we're supposed to love our wives like Jesus did. And it dawned on me, if you don't have a right perspective of who Jesus is, you can't fulfill that commandment. You can't fill that reality of truly loving your wife like Jesus, unless you understand who Jesus is. Who, as we read through Scripture, looked at it and said, I realize I'm pretty important. I have the very nature of God, but I'm not going to hold on to this position. I'm going to give it up in order to be able to redeem my creation. To step down out of that. To humble myself to become a man. Part of creation. Man, husbands, that's a reality that if we could ever grasp that, I think our wives would fall down and worship us. Because that is a love that is so far beyond to realize, man, I got all authority, all power, and yet I give that all up. to serve you, to redeem you, to go to great pains and lengths to even die for you. That is a radical love. That is an incredible love. And if we don't understand who Jesus is, to be honest, in part of the time, we don't even understand our own salvation. I've had a lot of conversations with individuals that go, oh, Mark, you don't understand. I've done really bad stuff. I don't think I'm redeemable. And it's like, no, that's not part of the equation anymore. That's not the way it works. We're all messed up, and all sin brings death. The reality is if you've done something that is horrible that every one of us here would condemn you for, Jesus died for that. It's been covered. That's how much he loves you. And he created you. And so he has the authority to redeem you. And so here it is, to be able to come back and go, okay, man, Christ got this thing. But turn over here to John. We're going to go back to John. John chapter 14. This is what he says. Jesus' own words, John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is Christ's words, because here's the reality of it all. If he is the creator of all things and he died to redeem all things, he is the only one who can save us. There is no other method. There is no other religion. There is no other individual. It is Christ alone. And so when we see Christ say this, this is not out of arrogance where he says, hey, there is no other way to heaven except through him. He's it. There's no escape clause out of this. The reality is Christ provided a way. Matter of fact, so much so that the disciples grabbed this, understood this. Look over in Acts chapter 4. The Peter and John standing before the same group of men who just crucified Christ about 50 days earlier. Here it is. Know this, you and all the people of Israel. He's talking to the leaders. This is Peter. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone, the most important part of the building. Everything's built off of it. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name. See, when we talk about salvation, this is why it's so important, guys. If you've gone through this, if you realize that, man, God created something beautiful and it was broken because of our sin. And the reality is that Jesus came and died for us. And if we would repent and believe in that, we can be redeemed once again. We can come back to God's design. We can actually find purpose and hope and value in our life again. We were created for a reason. And God not only wants his glory, but the wild thing about it is the more that we give God glory, the more we live for him, the more we actually find joy in ourselves. The more life has vibrance to it. The reality that it can be sweet. We can even go through sorrows. We can even go through hardships. And we can have peace in the midst of it. Because of what he's done, because of him, because he has us. He's got us. He's the creator of the universe, and he loves us. This is the sweetness about the gospel. And if we know this, and we're not sharing it with other people, I don't know if we really know it. It's almost like sin steps in the midst of even the gospel message. We're full of fear, we're full of anxiety, we're hesitant to you know, make people mad. And Grant, I don't want us to go out there and make people mad. That's not what it's about. It's like, how many doors can we shut before we get one to open? That's not the point. But I do think it needs to be a point where we realize, man, we got the best news ever. We got the hope for man. The message that changes lives. That brings a peace and a purpose. And it's realizing what that's all about. But if we lessen what Jesus did, if we think, oh, all roads go to heaven, and nowhere in Scripture does that say that. And when you look at the story of it, it's like, hey, here's the story. We have a broken world, and we know it, and we have been separated from God's design and plan because of our sin. We know that as mankind. And almost every religion knows that. And what the reality is in all those other religions, it's about, well, if you can finally just empty yourself. And just get rid of everything. Matter of fact, if you could empty yourself, we imagine that God is actually this universe of nothing. No feelings, no nothing. You finally escape it all. It's like, wow, that is not the God that created me. Not only that, I have to go through several lifetimes of trying to figure out how to do this thing to get there. And then, or you could go to the other ones. If you just have enough knowledge, you'll actually be able to achieve this higher level above everybody else where you have the knowledge and understanding of things. It's like, great. So folks that can't think that way or can't achieve those things, you're just naturally going to condemn. Somebody that grew up in the public school, I'm not too fond of that idea. You know, that was a joke. It's okay. You guys all went to public school too. That's probably why you took it offensive. No, so here's the reality of this. As you think about it, most religions are actually based on what do I do? How do I achieve this? How do I work it all out so that I can just be good enough? Matter of fact, so much so, that's so ingrained inside of us, that's often what we even do with the gospel. Okay, Jesus died for me. My sins are forgiven. That's great. I accept that. Now I got to figure out all the stuff that I'm supposed to do in order to get to heaven. No, you missed a step. I don't even know how you got over here. The reality is no, you're good. He's got you. It's okay. You're good. It's not by your works. It's not by your efforts. There's nothing you can do to achieve salvation. It's not any. It's not possible because you have a problem. It's called sin. And he died for your sin. That's what it is. You got to accept that in faith. Not by works. Okay, I get you, Mark. So I received Jesus. I'm saved now. And so now that I'm saved, I'm sure I got to do some works to get there. No, you don't get it. You got saved by grace, and you're hold on to your salvation by grace. He's got you. It's okay. The reality is if you realize, this is where it comes in, when you realize how much he loves you and what he's done for you, what happens is things begin to change inside of us. The Holy Spirit begins to sanctify us. The Holy Spirit steps into our life and goes, you know those habits that you used to be doing? Those aren't so awesome, are they? And you go, you're right. I don't want to do that. I want to live like God wants me to live because I know that there's a promise in the future. And you begin to change. You begin to go down that road. And you begin to realize, man, when you realize how much you're loved, you love back. You know? Some of you guys had great parents. Some of you guys probably had terrible parents. Some of you guys probably had absent parents. And when you think about your parents, there's different emotions that run through each and every one of us. But know this. Obviously, when somebody loves you, there is a tendency to want to love back. When there isn't love, the tendency is to run away. God is not absent. God does not just save us and go, good luck. He's there. He loves us. He cares about us. And the more we begin to realize, man, he died for me, I'm set free. It's nothing I could do. This is a free gift. And for some crazy reason, he showed me the way. That's the only thing that makes me different from anybody else that's on the street. It's not that I'm more special than them. It's not that I'm more righteous than them. It's not that, you know, you come up with 100 different reasons why you're special. You're not special. Okay, stop it. You're not special. None of us are. We're blessed. God loves us. He died for us, and so I can accept that. When I accept that and I begin to realize that, man, it changes, and that begins to change the motivation in me. And the motivation in me has nothing to do with me earning my salvation. It has everything to do with the reality that I truly understand my salvation. And that's a big difference, being able to grasp these things. Look over here at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirits who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incredible riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. See how it brings God glory? It's like, if you're a mess up, man, God gets all the more glory. Doesn't mean go out and be a mess up. Paul writes about that. Don't go out and try to be a mess up. But the reality is he saved you, and he gets all the glory out of it because you were a mess up. I was a mess up. Man, and it's awesome. God, and we're going to get to heaven and go, your incredible grace, your incredible kindness, your incredible patience with us. Because we realize how stubborn we are. We'll just bring him glory. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That good works that he has for us is an outflow of our heart and a desire to be able to honor him because of how he's honored us. But here's the awesome part of this. I want you to turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Here it is. Romans chapter 8. Go down here to verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Read that. Memorize that. Verse 37, look at that again, guys. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Guys, this is the awesome part of the good news. We've gone through, man, this is what God designed us. This is who we are. We're his image bearers. We were created for purpose. We were created to find fulfillment in him. And we mess that up. And we talked about sin and the reality of that, man. It is there, it is ugly, and it happens. It has messed me up. And the more that I realize it, the more that I think about it, I just want to hide in a dark hole because I am messed up. And God loves me. And he stepped into this story. And he redeems me. And it is the message of what Christ has done. This is what we need to hold on to. This is the essential. This is why we gather. This is the pinnacle of the reality that what he's done for us. Guys, memorize that verse. You are more than conquerors. Stop letting yourself feel defeated. Stop letting yourself look at it and go, well, I've messed up again this way. I'm not a very good Christian. No, you don't understand. God loves you. It's his glory that he loves you so much because you're messed up. You are more than conquerors. He's done this for you. He's redeemed you. Nothing can separate you from his love. That is so important, guys. Repeat it to yourself in the morning when you wake up. Nothing can separate me from your love. Keep repeating it to yourself when you go to bed. Nothing can separate me from his love. When you begin to grasp his love, you'll have grace for other people. When you begin to grasp his love, you'll want to live in love. When you begin to grasp his love, the reality of what has happened to you begins to sink in and it changes you. When you begin to grasp his love, you begin to realize how important it is to do all things in love. When you begin to grasp his love, you begin to act in love and want to seek love and give love and encourage others and see things grow. You begin to realize, man, this is the pinnacle of the gospel. It is about love, and you are more than conquerors because of the love that God has given you. He's chosen you and he's picked you out and he says, you are my child. And because you are my child, I love you and I'll never let go of you. So stop cutting yourself short. Realize that you are conquerors. Let the fear dissipate. Let the struggles realize, yeah, there's going to be struggles and there's going to be bad days. There's going to be days that you don't want to get out of bed. I get it. But remind yourself, you are more than conquerors. You are loved. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just come before you. Lord, we know the gospel message, but sometimes we forget the power of it. Lord, we know the simplicity of you saving us, but sometimes we want to work it out and make it complicated to the place that we can work our way out of it. Forgive us for that. Help us to hold on to the reality of what you've done. Help us to cement it in our hearts to the place that, Lord, we can share it with others. Father, I ask that you'd help each and every one of us not necessarily have this pattern of doing three circles, but have a pattern that in our conversation we're able to point people back wherever they're at, whether they're struggling and talking about the struggle of that in our life, or whether they see beauty and being able to express this is what God intended is beauty in our life. That, Father, you would help us to begin to mold the reality of our conversations to be able to point back to the glory of what you've done. Father, help us to bring glory to you. Help us to walk in your grace for ourselves and for others. All the meanwhile, putting our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, running forward towards his grace and towards his salvation, running forward to realizing, Lord, you have great things for us, that we would act in love, that we would respond in love, that we would do all things in love, that we would glorify you in these things. Father, if there's somebody here that hasn't surrendered to you, Father, if there's somebody that hasn't surrendered to you here, I ask that you convict their heart right now on whether they've really accepted you, whether they really believe in you in faith that you've done these things for them. There is no greater moment in an individual's life when they are born anew. Help them, Father. Help them simply cry out to you to receive in faith the gift that you have for them. Help them to verbalize that to somebody else, that they can walk in the confidence that they are more than conquerors. And we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.